From WGVU Public Media, this is Powerful Women Let's Talk. Conversations with women making an impact in West Michigan. Stay connected to Powerful Women. Please like and subscribe.
Welcome to Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Shelley Irwin. Today my guest is State Representative Carol Glanville, serving the 84th House District, including Walker, Granville, the West Side, and parts of Northeast Grand Rapids. Her message, fighting for West Michigan values and delivering common sense solutions for families. We will talk about that. She's been a teacher, administrator, education consultant, local elected official, of course, served on many community boards. Yes, we dig into that as well. She does advocate for hardworking families on the issue that matter most. Born and raised in West Michigan, then went on to live and raise her family in the Walker community. So, she knows us like the back of her hand. Hello to you, State Rep Carol Glanville. What do you call? What do I call you? State Rep, honorary Glanville. What's the verbiage these days?
Oh gosh, you know, my husband always laughs when I get mail at the house that says honorable, the honorable Carol Glanville. But to keep it real, most people just call me Rep.
Yes. All right, Rep. Congratulations on your success. I'm going to get right into this maybe early memory of a political role model, maybe you sensing you could get involved in service.
Gosh, you know, I think for every woman, probably their first leadership role model is their mom. And my mom was never involved in politics, but she did demonstrate leadership for me at a very young age. She led my Girl Scout troop. And, you know, I'm sure I wasn't thinking leadership at the time.
Right.
But, you know, for her to be out there in front and demonstrate, you know, a woman taking over a group, leading, and you know, leading in that way and that sort of thing, I'm sure that had some impact on me that rings through to today. So,
yes. Hey, Girl Scouts are based in Walker. There you go.
Yeah.
Why are you advocating for hardworking families on the issues that matter most?
You know, because families are everybody. You know, however you live, you're part of a family. And I believe everybody works hard. And so I feel like that really just represents who I represent and the importance of making sure that everybody has the opportunity to be self-sufficient, to live a life of dignity, and to, you know, be able to have a future here in Michigan.
Yeah, we'll get back to that. I want you to take us back to your developmental years. What was your trajectory to leadership?
Well, I believe my trajectory to leadership really started with teaching. And early in my career, I took the opportunity to move to South Korea. And I lived there for a couple of years. And I was teaching English overseas. And the group of people that I worked with were all native language speakers of their own, French, Spanish, or French, Japanese, Chinese, German, English, etc. But I was the only one with a teaching degree. And so just after I had taught for a year here locally in Michigan, and then I went overseas. And so it was a real opportunity to lead others and help them understand how to be an educator.
Mm. Was that a risk going from our small area in Walker to South Korea? I trust perhaps on your own?
Yeah, it was a bit of a risk, right? I mean, but I've always, and I still do this, my mantra is, what's the worst that can happen? And if I can handle the answer to that question, then why not? It's the reason I don't skydive.
Thank you for that admission. Okay.
Because I'm not willing to accept the worst case scenario in that particular, you know, endeavor. But most of the time I find it's just, you know, the worst case scenario is I just don't like it. Or it's, you know, something along those lines, and then you just move on. So,
did you further your classroom experience then when you got back to the States?
Yeah. So I was teaching in South Korea, and then I returned to the States, lived in Chicago. I worked at the City Colleges of Chicago teaching adult ESL, and then I also taught high school Spanish in the Catholic schools, actually, in Chicago. So primarily, I also did a little stint on the South Side in one of the public high schools there in Chicago.
When did you know it was time to seek political office?
I decided to seek political office, as most women do, when I was asked. but I came about it. I had been very active in my community in Walker. People knew who I was through that work. And there was an open seat in our city commission. And so some folks said, hey, are you going to put in for that? And I said, well, why do you think I should? What is it that, you know, I bring to you as a leader? And then I realized the skill set that I had from years in education, working as administrator, is very similar to the work I would be doing on the city commission. So I thought this is a way for me to transfer my skill set and continue doing good work for my community.
Yeah. Do you recommend if one is asked to say yes?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure. I mean, again, because if it's just not your cup of tea or it doesn't work out, that's okay. But if you don't try, you just won't ever know.
I like that worst case scenario, again, mantra. Back to hardworking families that you advocate for on the matters most. What take me to today? What are these matters that you're working with?
There are a lot of matters that we're working with. But I think, you know, when we have these conversations, a lot of people go right to the financial piece. They'll say, you know, we're trying to cut costs. We're trying to get good jobs without really any definition of, you know, what is a good job. And so what I try to look at is really how we provide services for people, like a little bit more broadly from the financial aspect to the actual service. Because even if something is free, if it is not accessible to you, it doesn't matter. So when we think about things like transportation, you know, housing, where are homes located, access to childcare, and things like that, healthcare even, you know, are we providing the service in a way that people can actually take advantage of it or not?
Hmm. Do these topics keep you up at night?
No, not particularly. I mean, they're kind of, you know, these are topics that are time-tested, I think. And so I just enjoy doing the work, and it doesn't necessarily keep me stressed in that way. There might be a particular issue from time to time that becomes very poignant, but day-to-day, not so much.
Sounds like more of a motivation.
Exactly, yeah. There's work to be done.
Yes. The topic of behavioral health, how did this come up in your life?
Again, going back to being a teacher, I think it's just something that's always been a part of my career, my professional life. You can't teach people. You can't interact with parents, students, administrators, the community in general. When you're a teacher, the emotions that people bring to the classroom and bring to the school impact the way that you interact with them and how you can successfully teach, get your message across, communicate and partner. And so I think it's just one of those things that's been embedded in the work that I do, and just carrying that forward, understanding that mental health is as important as physical health, if not more so.
What's your t-shirt say?
My t-shirt says, "We are the women we've been waiting for."
How are we doing with getting women in the business of politics and exploring the political career role?
I think we've done a really great job in Michigan. Our highest state offices are all held by women. The caucus that I am a part of is majority women. We have a female majority floor leader in the Senate. And so we see a number of women on our Supreme Court. Mm. And there's so many exciting women leading here in Grand Rapids. Yourself among them.
Well, we're in the sandbox. Yeah. It's exciting to be able to seek a goal and attempt to achieve it. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see as a 13-year-old Rep. Carol Glanville? Would you have made any changes?
I don't think I would have made any changes. I am a firm believer in the path and how it connects to where you are today. And I think if anything, one thing had been different, I wouldn't be sitting across from you today. And so good, bad, it all flows together. And if I don't have the bad, I don't appreciate the good as much. So that balance of struggle and success gets us through. And I, like I said, I wouldn't be here without it. So I'm excited to have had all these experiences.
And more to come. What do you like to see in your leaders?
I really like to see a leader who is authentically open to others. I think that is the most critical element is the desire to make an effort to understand. We don't have to agree, but we need to be able to empathize. We need to know where other people are coming from so that we can find solutions together, so that we can sit at the same table together, and we can get past some of this tribalism of, you know, me versus you, and work together to find the best solutions for the people in Michigan.
And on that note, what do you need from your community to make your job bigger, better, and important?
Just be engaged. We hear a lot about civic engagement. I know there are a lot of people who ask, what can I do? I'm not saying you have to go sit at every city commission meeting and planning commission, but just be involved in your community. Volunteer somewhere. Attend a, you know, a high school soccer game. Whatever it is, be a part of your community in an active way. And then you meet your neighbors. Mm. You can spread the message of different things that are going on. You can begin to understand how a decision here impacts a program there, and how things are interconnected, and begin to understand how you can advocate for the things that are most important.
Mm. Well, we know it's not skydiving, but do you have a secret hobby?
Yeah, I do. My hobby is really just being creative. My lifelong passion really is around indoor plants. I've always had a little garden.
Green thumb.
Yes, very much so. And so I really enjoy that. But aside from that, I like just being creative where there aren't any rules. And I'm not particularly talented, but I dabble in, you know, a little bit of drawing, a little bit of painting. I just recently, for the first time, did a little wheel throwing pottery workshop thing.
You did the clay work.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I loved it. Just loved it. You know, so there really aren't rules, and there's not really a level or measure of success. Mm-hmm. And you can just do it for a period of time. And yeah.
Make sure you initial that. What does the Glanville family do for fun?
What do we do for fun? Well, we Netflix. No.
Well, you're normal.
No, we really enjoy being outside. So avid outdoors people, hiking, biking. Mm-hmm. My husband is a lifelong fisherman, hunter. My boys, everybody skis or snowboards and that sort of thing. So we're very outdoor people.
Mm. Have any favorite quotes or anything to send us home with? Besides what's on your t-shirt?
Yeah. You know, I'm going to stick with what's on my t-shirt. I think, you know, this is such an inspiring message for me because it comes from our immigrant community here in Grand Rapids. And there, it's about women who have moved here from other countries, but are continuing to apply their own craft and their skills here in the United States. And coming together to continue in a new way. Most of them are refugees. It's been some very hard times. So it's very inspirational for me.
Good. State Representative Carol Glanville, serving the 84th House District. Thank you for your service in this conversation.
Oh, thank you.
Powerful Women Let's Talk is a production of WGVU Public Media. Episodes available at wgvunews.org and on Apple and Spotify. Please like and subscribe.